Detective.
When too many Santa Clauses came to a Christmas party, what happened was something new in the way of crime. That is the situation on this page from my casebook. The casebook of Jerry Browning, private detective. Even a private detective like me, Jerry Browning, can sometimes be a party to crime. It was Christmas Eve, and I was having an office party for some of my friends and clients. I had a date for later that evening to play Santa Claus at a settlement house party, so I'd rented a Santa costume for the occasion. And when I got the idea of having some Christmas cheer at my office, I thought it would be a fine idea to wear the costume, sort of give the party an air of authenticity. Wearing my costume was a fine idea, except that it also occurred to a good many of my guests. And there already were four other Santa Clauses milling around my office. I went up to greet the sixth Santa as he pushed his way in.
Hello, Mr. Browning. The season's greetings to you from Santa Claus.
Oh, hello, Dawson. You're the first Santa I ever met with a southern accent.
Doggone it, Jerry. I've been working on that accent.
That's all right, Dawson. If any kid asks you how come, you tell him you're from the South Pole. Come on in. Meet some of my friends. Dawson, you know Louie, though you may not recognize him behind that beard.
Hello, Lieutenant. Sure is nice to meet a cop and not worry what's he got on you.
So right, Louie. Dawson, I want you to meet Mr. Wilbur Norris, Vice President of the Great Valley Railroad. Lieutenant Dawson of Homicide.
Pleased to meet you, Mr. Norris. So you're Santa Claus, too.
I am Santa Claus, at the party in the terminal tonight. I'll come in a special train direct from the North Pole.
No reindeer, Mr. Norris?
Reindeer? Lieutenant, I ask you, the children demand electric trains or electric reindeer?
I steered Dawson away from Norris, took him over to meet the leanest Santa Claus in the room. Lieutenant Dawson, meet Mr. John Cooley, head of the Investigations Department of Consolidated Insurance.
Pleased to meet you, Mr. Cooley. I've heard a lot about you.
It's not true. I'm just as easygoing as the next man if I find anything to be easygoing about, which I seldom do.
I left them to welcome a few more guests. None of them in costume. It looked like six Santas would be par for the course. Circulating among my guests, I noticed with amusement that the other Santas had gradually drifted together, like people all of one kind usually do. Then, about an hour later... Hello, Jerry Browning speaking. What'd you say this was? Mr. Standish at the Veterans Hospital? Is there some trouble at the hospital, Mr. Standish? What? You're counting on me to come out there this evening as Santa Claus. Well, there must be some mistake, Mr. Standish. I have a date at the Sarah Jennings Settlement House as Santa. Well, no, sir. I never got any message from you last week. I'm very sorry, Mr. Standish. I just can't disappoint the kids. I'm sure you'll be able to get somebody else. It was just one of those things. A message I didn't get. But I felt terrible all the same, thinking of those guys at the Veterans Hospital. Well, if I couldn't be there, at least I could pay for the price of a professional Santa. I reached into my pocket for my wallet and felt nothing. My wallet was gone. And only a second later...
I've been robbed! My wallet's been stolen!
John Cooley grabbed his own pocket.
Lock the door! My wallet has also been stolen!
We locked the doors all right, and then took inventory. My wallet was gone, so were those of Wilbur Norris, John Cooley, Lieutenant Dawson, and Louie. Every man in a Santa costume had been robbed, and nobody else.
Just a minute, Jerry. There was one more Santa Claus in this room than there are now. Who was the sixth Santa?
I thought about that for a while. Why, I don't know. I just assumed he was somebody I knew. Didn't anybody get his name? It developed that nobody got the strange Santa's name, and that the Santas in conversation had referred to one another as Santa or Mr. Claus. And nobody had noted the exact moment when the sixth Santa left the party with the wallet for the others. At that point, John Cooley had a thought.
Browning, you were not one of our little group in costume. When did that spurious Santa have an opportunity to steal your wallet?
Why, he didn't have any chance. I took my wallet out to pay the delivery boy just before I got that phone call, and there was nobody near me while I was talking on the phone. Hello, Jerry Browning speaking. Lieutenant Dawson? Yeah, he's here. Dawson walked over, took the phone.
Lieutenant Dawson, Homicide. Wilton's department store burglarized? Uh-huh. Uh-huh, but Commissioner, I'm Homicide, not burglary. Well, no, Mr. Commissioner, I wasn't arguing with you. I was just explaining that I... Yes, sir, I'll go right over there. I'm sorry, Jerry, I gotta go over to Wilton's, find out who'd steal a flock of stuff and then leave the money to pay for it on a cashier's counter.
Wait a second, Dawson. Somebody broke into Wilton's after it was closed, took a lot of things, and left the money to pay for them? Dawson, this I have to see. Norris, Cooley, and Louie insisted on coming along, too. On the way, we took inventory of our losses. They came to $900. The situation at the store was exactly as the commissioner had said. A flock of merchandise removed from departments all over the store and on the cashier's table.
Well, I'll be doggone. $900, Jerry.
Something peculiar was going on. I stared at the money and had a creepy feeling. What kind of merchandise is missing? The store manager answered that one.
We haven't fully accounted for everything, but it seems to be all things for men. Shirts, jackets, shaving sets, writing paper, fountain pens, pipes, tobacco.
That's enough. I turned to Dawson. I've got a hunch, Dawson, and don't ask me how I got it, but I think we'd better go out to the Veterans Hospital. Mr. Standish, the hospital superintendent, met us at the door.
I'm delighted to see you, Mr. Browning, but it wasn't necessary for you to break your date. We got a Santa Claus after all.
I looked beyond Standish into a room where a group of men in bed were opening packages and generally having a fine time. Who was your Santa, Mr. Standish?
Why, I don't exactly know. I assumed he was one of your friends, Mr. Browning, because he said you were sorry about not being able to show up. And he intimated that, that you and your friends had chipped in together to buy gifts for the boys.
Nothing wrong, is there? Huh?
No, nothing wrong. Nothing at all. And by the way, how did the Santa come here?
In a carriage drawn by horses.
Thought it a bit odd.
Come to think of it, how did he get through the gates? The gateman didn't phone up here about it.
Just then Dawson came running up.
We'll get that guy, Jerry. I got the footprints of the horses, and here's some hairs one of them must have shed. We can identify an animal by its hair just as easily as a human being.
Yeah, Dawson, sure we can. I steered our group toward the door. Sorry we bothered you, Mr. Standish, and tell the boys Merry Christmas from all of us. Norris, Cooley, and Louie exchanged looks. Then...
Jerry, me and Mr. Norris and Mr. Cooley decided if it's all the same to you, we just as soon forget about that dough. And we gotta get going. Very busy night ahead.
Well, that was just about all. We never did recover the money. Though each of us got his wallet back by mail, nothing missing except the money. We never learned the identity of the sixth Santa Claus either. But the day after Christmas at the crime lab, where Dawson insisted on taking the horsehairs for examination...
Jerry, the lab man says these are reindeer hair. What do you think about that?
I smiled at him. Dawson, I haven't got a thought in my mind. And that was absolutely all. Like I said, there are parties to crime, and mysterious parties of the second part. And for my part, my sole comment is, Merry Christmas to all, and to all a good night.